You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702 Series Edition.
7 minutes past 2 o'clock. Chrisale, it's lovely to have you back on the radio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Africa. Thank you for having me.
Let's go straight into it. What is the difference between retail and replacement value when it comes to car insurance?
Okay, so you seem to have a lot of wheels-related topics on your show today.
We do,
so,
indeed.
Jump straight into it. So I just want to highlight a complaint that I came across the other day from a client. And I'm not going to mention any names, but he says he just experienced a write-off vehicle and he claimed from the insurance company for retail value. He says the definition of retail value, it seems, is not any kind of realistic replacement value for same year and model and mileage, but a technical referral to a value given by a database who clearly states that whatever that value is, and it should not be used for insurance valuation purposes. So there's a lot of confusion around this issue around insuring, the value of your car that you insure it for. Customers are confused, and I think for good reason, because they are. Is there a problem with my sound? Is that better?
We're able to hear you very clearly, Christelle.
Okay, fantastic. So Africa, there's a good reason for customers or consumers to be concerned, because unfortunately, in the insurance industry, there's a standard adopted approach around the value of a car that we insure, but it's not really a regulated standard. So often insurance companies have different approaches, but let's discuss sort of in general what the difference is. So typically, retail value is what you would insure your car for, how much it would cost to replace that car at the time of a total loss. But the value is determined on the information that the insurance industry gets from all the car dealerships, and it goes sort of on average values of what those cars would typically sell for. And I think often a problem comes in where clients feel that for low mileage or for excellent condition or for the fact that they paid more for the vehicle than it was worth at the time when they bought, because it's quite a rare, relatively rare model, that they don't get compensated fully for the full amount when there is a total loss. So on the one side, you have retail value, so that is what your car you typically sell for. But on the other side, you also have something that is called market value. And that's a little bit lower than retail value. And that is taking all sorts of considerations into account. And it calculates a sort of an average between the trade-in and the retail value. And clients don't often understand it. So I think it's a very important topic to tackle. And then finally, in the industry, you also now get nowadays something called guaranteed value or guaranteed sum insured, where you can actually insure your car for a value that you feel it's worth, and that's what you would be paid out at an additional premium at the time of a total loss.
I suppose to understand a bit more why retail value of one's car is higher than the market value of one's car, when you take out retail value as your car insurance option, are you then saying, I'm driving a Hyundai i20, which I bought in 2016, and therefore the retail value of that car, should I go buy it in the second car market, or am I setting the value at what a brand new Hyundai i20 will be at 2022 model when I buy it?
Excellent question. So, and once again, if we talk about sort of in general terms of what's available in the market, many insurance companies offer you new for old for the first year or the first 2 years of registration. So, when the car was first registered. And they would typically replace your car with the newest available model of that vehicle, taking your mileage and condition also into account. And sometimes there's also a kilometer sort of limitation on that. So that's the best position that you can be in when you buy a new vehicle, is that you ask for this new for old replacement value for the first year or 2 years and make sure that that cover is included. I think the problem often comes in with older vehicles, because the older the vehicle gets, the more the condition of the vehicle, the mileage, the extras and what you've had done to the vehicle comes into play. And I think, it's quite a complex conversation to tackle on the radio this afternoon, my advice to your listeners is, if you're going to be spending a huge amount of money on a vehicle, don't just go for the cheapest premium. Because let me tell you this, insurance, rule of thumb, if the less you pay, the less you get. It's like anything else in life. So if you are just going to look at the bottom line premium and you don't ask the questions around, am I insured for retail value, market value, guaranteed value? What is my excess? Am I allowed to drive a certain, as many kilometers, for instance, a year as I like? Because that's something else that's become quite relevant nowadays is, some insurance companies offer discounts for low mileage because we work from home. There's so many different factors to consider. I mean, something else that's very important is this issue around nominated drivers. So am I allowed to give my car to someone else to drive? All of these factors play into how much you pay at the end of the day. So it's important to ask the conversation, to sit down with your broker or ask your insurance company when you make that big acquisition, that you ask, that you spend time and that you ask the questions. And it's often best to ask these questions up front before you buy the vehicle. Because you know what we like, especially when you buy your first car or you just got a nice increase and you want to go and spend it on a new set of wheels. You just think about that repayment of, the finance deal, right, Africa? So you go like, okay, I can afford 3,000 rand a month for my car repayment. So I'm going to buy the best I can get for 3,000 rand a month. But then on top of that, you have to pay for your insurance premium and you have to put some money away for your excess. And if something does go horribly wrong, like a total loss, you must make sure that you understand how that claim will be paid out, because some things could not be covered, as we were explaining now around the retail and market value difference.
You alluded to a guaranteed value option, which then leads me to appreciate that when it comes to retail value of the car or a market value of the car, that is a variable amount depending on, I suppose, how much into your insurance cover, how much mileage you have in your car, et cetera, and what the general market is doing, that will determine then what that value is.
Yes, but there's so many concerns at the moment around the insurance value of vehicles. So certain makes that I've heard recently, there is quite a significant difference between the retail value what the retail value is that we get as data from the different dealerships versus what they're actually selling for. So someone might buy a certain brand car for 400,000 rand because it's got to do with a shortage of cars that are coming onto the market, especially your newer secondhand models, and it's driving some of those values up. I mean, there's so many different factors playing into this vehicle value issue. So for that reason, the guaranteed value insurance option is a very good option, because it means that you will contact your insurance company or broker and then agree with them what you believe the value of your car is. It needs to be reasonable. It needs to be realistic. It might be a case of you have done a private sale. You paid 30,000 rand more for this car because it's got very low mileage, the owner, you were prepared to pay more for what you were getting. And then your insurance company will insure the car for the higher value. So the guaranteed value is often higher than the retail value. And then guarantee that if there's a total loss, so a theft, a hijack, or a write-off, that they will pay you the higher value without any questions being asked. And then, of course, you pay a little bit more because the value is higher. You pay a bit more premium. And there might be a little bit of a surcharge attached to that, but it gives you that ultimate peace of mind of knowing that you will be paid out the amount that your car is insured for on the policy.
It's the third episode in our series on short-term insurance. We're talking retail versus replacement value. My guest this half hour is Christelle Coleman, who is the CEO of Army, answering all of your questions relating to car insurance, replacement value versus retail value. We invite your calls now on 011-883-0702, your WhatsApp messages and voice notes to 072-702-1702. I'm going to ask that when you call in and ask your question and you are painting your scenario, scenario, please do not include details of names of brands or organizations, simply because in 13 minutes, we will not be able to afford that brand or organization an opportunity to respond. But we can speak to general issues around some of the concerns or experiences that you might have with regards to how you are covering your car insurance. Christelle, this is something that I often get reflected to me by both listeners and friends. Someone, for example, I know in Cape Town had their window broken, people end up stealing nothing because there's nothing in the car to steal, but the driver's window was smashed. And what he opted to do was to pay for the replacement of that window out of his own pocket, because if he was to claim against insurance on his car, the premiums would go up, right? Because we know this. The more incidents you report to the insurance company, the likelihood is that you're becoming a riskier client, so therefore they need to charge you more as your premiums are concerned. And that made me worry. What happens if people continue doing that to a point where there is then either a total loss of vehicle or a serious incident, and when the insurance examiners examine the car, they realize, wait a minute, there have been many dings and changes being made here, which we were not alert to. Can the insurance company then use that as a basis of rejecting your claim?
Look, I mean, that's quite an unlikely scenario because insurance companies like clients who look after their risks, properly. So it's not that much different from when you insure your home and you maintain it. Often people don't submit the small claims because they are concerned about the premiums increasing. And Africa, you're quite right. It's the increase of premium, but it also is the problem with not being able to get insurance again in future if you keep on claiming for every small little thing. It's also the reason why we have an excess. It's to prevent clients from submitting all the little small claims because it will eventually drive up the total claims of the insurance company, and then we end up paying more, all of us paying more on insurance premiums. Remember, insurance is on the concept of the contributions of the many to a pool of money that pays the losses of the few. But if you are not sure about how your insurance company will react, just put it in writing to them to say that I've had a loss and I've paid for it myself. Please put it on record. I can't imagine that you'll get into trouble for that. But I think the message here, and
is essential, isn't it, Christelle? That if you are maintaining your car, you inform your insurance company that this is what you've done, so that they are in the know.
Yes, and I think you're raising such an important point, because it's better to over communicate than under communicate. Just get everything on record. Nowadays, most of the insurers have got email facilities or WhatsApp for business, where you can just update them. You don't have to phone them. So that's very important. But I think the point I wanted to raise, and I think you touched on it so eloquently, is around the importance of disclosure. So especially at the time of taking out a new policy, don't lie about anything, especially about the number of claims that you have. You will know that when you ask for a quote from an insurance company or a broker, they will ask you, how many claims have you had? Don't then say, oh, I can't remember, or I didn't have any claims, knowing that you've actually suffered some losses and submitted those claims to the insurance companies. Because the insurance industry, we have a central database where we know, not just the central database, I mean, we can also contact the previous insurer, but where we can find out what your insurance record looks like. So if you lie and you say, I had no claims, meanwhile you had a car written off at your previous insurer, now you're with the new insurance company, you have a claim, and it comes to light that you lied about that claim, then your new claim can be rejected. It's called non-disclosure. And the reasoning behind that is that the insurance companies say, if we had known that you were a bad insurance risk, that you claim all the time, that you've had all these big claims, we probably wouldn't have taken you on as a client. So this concept about being honest is extremely important, and we live in a digital age. We have access to data, to information, and insurance companies tend to find these things out. And then you sit with a problem when you've suffered a genuine big loss, and you can't do anything about that lie that you told so quickly when you took out the insurance policy.
Indeed. Christelle, your first question is from Sbu in Pretoria. Sbu, good afternoon. What's your question or comment for Christelle?
Hey, good afternoon, Africa. Africa, I just wanted to find out from your guest, if let's say now I work in Pretoria, and that's my nominated address where my car is parked during the night, but then I have to go and work in Durban for like 2 weeks, and my car is going to be parked, let's say, at the CBD overnight address. So now if something happens and my car gets stolen or damaged and I'm in Durban, will the insurance company come and say, no, you told us that your overnight address for parking your car is in Pretoria, so now we're not going to pay the claim? I just want to find out, if I'm going to be away, I'm parking my car for, let's say, 2 weeks or 3 weeks somewhere else, do I need to call them every time and update that information? I listen on the radio.
Thank you very much, Boo. An important question. Crystal?
Yes, thanks, Boo. Okay, so it comes back to this disclosure situation. I think 2 to 3 weeks at a different address is something that you should actually notify your insurer of. I know it's a pain, but again, rather be safe than sorry. And then the only other piece of advice that I can give you is normally insurance companies have got security requirements around where your car is parked. So when you take out your policy, you say, my car is parked in a locked garage behind a locked gate, for instance. And if this other address in the CBD is on street parking, so outside, so a significantly different risk exposure, there might be problems. So if the second risk address have got the same security measures in place, I can't see that there would be a problem. But if there's a major difference in the risk exposure, so a very high crime area, it's not secured, it's not behind a lock gate, and it's a requirement on your policy that it's behind a lock gate, you could very well run into problems with that. So rather be safe than sorry. That's my advice.
And as you said earlier, rather over communicate so that they do not say no, but you never told
Absolutely.
Us of this thing. Here's a voice note question for you.
Hi, my name is Sibusiso Ndlovu. I'm just interested in the topic that we are talking about today. I think I just want to know what are the possibilities of an insurer increasing the premium by 60%. For argument's sake, on my case, the insurer I'm insured with increased the premium, and the reason, when I called them and asked for the reason, they said it's because of the guys who are using code 10, code C1 licenses are the ones who are claiming more, hence they are increasing it by 60%, which on my side I feel like it's not a valid reason.
Sure, we'll say so.
I've got it, Africa. I got that question.
Yes.
Yes, I understand what his issue is there. So, like I said earlier on, insurance is based on the principle of many people contributing to a pool of money to pay the claims of those people who have accidents or losses or whatever. Now, often what you find when insurance companies have a specific portfolio of business or a specific risk, you know, exposure, and there's increased claims, they pay out more than what they're getting in, they'll put their premiums up of all their clients. Fortunately for your listener, we live in a consumer competitive market. So my advice to you is, if you get a 60% increase on your premium and you haven't claimed, then you shop around. You know, there's so many, we're bombarded with insurance company advertisements all the time. Phone around, get a broker to shop around on your part, and go and get an alternative quote that you're happy with. The best piece of asset that you have when it comes to insurance, the best sort of a piece of armor that you have, is a good claims record. So if you don't claim, everyone wants your business. You can shop around, and you should shop around every year on your renewal. Or if you get an unfair increase, you know, 60% increase on a premium where you haven't had claims is not fair. Go and see who else will take your business at a much lower premium than what the increased premium is.
I mean, and I'm glad you responded in that way, because 60% just does not make sense. You cannot go from 1 year to the next and be 60% more riskier to your client, as you say, for doing absolutely nothing, or at least going about your business as per normal, and you're not claiming. That's just wrong on every level.
Yes, I agree with that. And like I said, it's a consumer competitive market. So the reason why we're bombarded with insurance company advertisements is that everyone wants our business if we're good risks. So use that to your advantage. Make sure that you shop around, but then at the same time, you must make sure that you are comparing apples with apples. Don't just move for the cheapest premium, and ask the questions around security of where my car must be parked, what are the restrictions, you know, ready the driver, nominate the driver, all those things. And then, of course, very important, the issue around your excess.
Yeah.
Understand how much you have to pay if something horribly goes wrong. If people don't make provision for an excess, and it can be very high at a time when you're already suffering a major trauma, a major accident or a theft or a hijacking. So make sure that you understand what that excess is before you sign on the dotted line.
Oh, by the way, do check your spam email inbox as well, just in case your insurance company has emailed you and for whatever reason your email inbox has decided to identify it as spam. Kenny, in Benoni, you've got a good question. Good morning. Good afternoon, rather.
Hi, how are you, Africa?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. So my question is regarding getting a broker versus getting an insurance quote on your own. What are the pros and cons of getting an insurance via a broker? And the reason I'm asking is that I have seen that, or I've heard that in most instances whereby you have to claim, if you got the insurance through a broker, the claim usually, they don't even hesitate to pay instantly versus when I'm going to claim on my own without a broker. How true is that, and what are the pros and cons of getting a broker?
It's a good question. Christelle?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we can have him on the show to tell us why. I think he gave us the answer. You know, I'm a big fan of brokers. I believe that the broker is your friend, and it really does make sense to always, if you're not sure, you know, get a quote from a broker. Ask the broker. So a broker will shop around on your behalf, get three quotes and tell you what the differences are and the pitfalls and all those things. And you can also go direct. There's a misconception that it's cheaper to go to a direct insurer versus working with a broker. That is sometimes true, but it's not always true. Brokers can also get very good premiums out there for you. And then the big benefit of having a broker for me is when something goes wrong on your claim, exactly like your listener said, that broker helps you fight the insurance company to get the claim settled quick and resolve issues. If you are just a policyholder on your own, you have to fight that fight on your own. That's all you have to fight on your own, where a broker will help you. So don't think brokers are typically more expensive. The premium includes the commission that's paid to them. So you don't have to pay them extra. It's included on your premium. And for that, they have to deliver a service to you. So they work for you as the policyholder, and they must help you, they must give you advice, and they must sort out your problems. Whereas you go direct, you are on your own. So I always say to clients, you know, get a quote through a broker, get a direct quote, make a good comparison, but make sure what you're busy look, you know, that you understand what you're looking at, and make an informed decision at the end of the day.
That was a very good question, Kenny, and a wonderful way to end this third episode on our series on short-term insurance. Christelle, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Africa.
Christelle Coleman, the CEO of Army.